Could be February, I think. Just reading between the lines, a few things have happened. I haven't had it straight from Jeff, but just one or two things. But if not, he's coming before Easter, he said. But hopefully earlier, just for the sake of his children, so they can get settled in schools, etc. But thank you, Carl. This is a wonderful passage to be reading. I've been a bit slack this year, and I've been challenged in my Bible reading. And I'd set myself a goal to get through to the end of the Bible this year, and I've been a long way off it. And so the last couple of weeks when I haven't been preaching, I decided I'd make a charge for getting there. And it sounds a little bit mechanistic, I know, but it's just been wonderful reading through huge, you know, spending 2 or 3 hours just reading Scripture. Not stopping and pondering necessarily on a verse, but just going through like the whole book of Isaiah, the whole of Jeremiah, the whole of Proverbs. It's just been a wonderful experience. If you've never done it, there you go. Try it sometime. But to see that broader pattern of what God does and unfolding. So when I was thinking about this morning, I'd been struck by, as Ian has been leading up as the theme, that this child was born. And I was just taken by it and just how remarkable that the nation of Israel, or of Judah and the Israelites, were in a very, very difficult situation. And the challenge was, were they going to look to God or would they look to other people, other nations to save them? And what would God's answer be if they looked to him? And God's answer against the nation of Assyria, which is a cloud in the northern or wet northeastern horizon, coming through Zebulun, down through Galilee, as we've read here, the threat was Assyria. A very powerful, a very ruthless, a terrifying country. Very well-trained soldiers, fearsome foes. Where would the people turn and what would God's answer be? And God's answer is a baby. God's answer is a child. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. God says, I'll give you a baby. Don't fear the Assyrians. Let us pray. Lord, you just never, never cease to amaze us. Lord, we look at some of the things that you do and we think, wow, this is crazy stuff. But Lord, we just don't think on the same plane as you. You're a great, you're a mighty, you're a wonderful God. And we see in this passage that we've had read to us this morning some of the names, some of the few names that are called you. And they stir our hearts as we think of you as our mighty God, our wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray this morning that the meditations of our heart, the words that are spoken, would honor who you are. Give us understanding, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the threat from the north coming down through the trade route, which was down through the Sea of Galilee, beautiful pastoral land. From Galilee, something special was going to happen, as Carl read. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan River. And we know that although Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as was also prophesied, that Galilee, he was known as a Galilean. Would any good come out of Galilee? Yes, there would. A little baby, a child who was to be born. And as I was praying there, we just never cease to be amazed at the wonderful way that God does things. That God would die on the cross for our sins. We would never see that. We would never understand or predict that. But here, the illustration from this ludicrous situation that we would see, a very difficult situation, God provides a ludicrous, it seems, solution. A baby to save us from this threat. But there was way, 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 way more than that. I was just reflecting on it, and I was thinking in World War II, And the British back there in the 1940s at Dunkirk is a similar situation. The English, or the British and the French had war against Germany. Germany had attacked through the Low Countries with their tanks and their panzer divisions, highly trained, similar to the Assyrians. Marvelous troops, great equipment, and most of all, generals who knew what they were doing and were unafraid to do some spectacular things. So their panzer armies charged through the Low Countries, and next to no time they had the British and the French bottled up at Dunkirk. The mystery of history is why they waited. Some of it was so that their wonderful Reich Marshal of the Air Force could use his air force to blast them off the beaches. Perhaps it was egos, but they stopped. And the Royal Navy back in England were charged with getting these men off the beaches, 300,000 men. And there was one pier and one destroyer, and I don't know how many men fit on a destroyer, but it would be in the hundreds, not the thousands. And some man came up with an idea, and he said, let's get all the little boats, 14 feet and above, the lifeboats, the fishermen's, the pleasure craft. And they seconded them, and most of them were sailed by Royal Navy personnel, but some of them, the people, the owners, actually did it themselves. And they trundled across the channel because it was a low beach. They were able to come in close, men standing up to their shoulders, waiting all day to be rescued. Meanwhile, the Luftwaffe coming overhead and strafing them. And they were rescued. A ludicrous idea for a very difficult situation. And that's what we have here. God, it seems, has provided a ludicrous solution to a very difficult situation. God's answer to everything that terrorizes us, that frightens us to the core, both individually and collectively as a people, as God's people, the power of God is so superior to that of the Assyrians or whatever we face up to, that he sends a baby. And he could be a baby with his hands behind his back, but an all-conquering, victorious God. His answer to the bullies of history is a child. His answer is Jesus. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. What sort of a child was this? Well, it's just told us. This is not an ordinary child. This is not a descendant of Hezekiah or any of the kings, any of the godly kings of Israel. Yes, he is. He's a descendant of David. But there's something special about this child. He is, and let's go through it, he is Wonderful Counselor. Jesus, our Wonderful Counselor, has the best ideas and strategies. Here's a little quip from Winston Churchill again, seeing we have been back in the 1940s. Winston Churchill was once asked to give the qualifications a person needed to succeed in politics. For you who don't know Winston Churchill, he was a great leader of England during the time of World War II. A great leader. Pretty ordinary before that, but he was the man for the occasion. So he was asked, what does a man need to do to succeed in politics? And he replied, it is the ability to foretell what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year. And to have the ability afterwards to explain why it didn't happen. But a wonderful counselor, our Jesus, is not like that at all. He has the best ideas and strategies. Jesus is the one who gives wondrous counsel. His wisdom is deep. In weakness is strength. In surrender is victory. In death is life. This is our counselor. His death is our life. This is our Wonderful Counselor, our Savior. How do we apply that, brothers and sisters? We follow him. We follow Jesus, the wonderful counselor. Mighty God, as the mighty God, he defeats our enemies easily. God is here. He is here not for our destruction, but for our salvation. This, our God, is so great that he can absorb all the evil that is thrown at us, all the evil that's thrown at us until there is no more evil to be thrown. That is our mighty God. Illustration. I've used this a little bit before. We have two dogs. One is Jack and one is Rex, and they're rather large golden retrievers. Lovely dogs. In fact, so lovely, one of them bit me last night, accidentally. And they're both brothers. One's been neutered and one's not. So one's very gentle and the other one's pretty gentle, but, you know, he likes you to know that he's a big boy. And, you know, if there's any girls around, you just get out of the way. They, you know, this is my territory. So I take them for a walk, and often around Mahia Park, we meet other people walking their dogs, and the reaction is, Rex is, I'm big, this is my territory, if there's any girls, it's mine. Rex, very timidly, whoops around behind me. Two dogs. And isn't that us? You know, we have a mighty, mighty God. That's what we need to do, whoop around behind his legs, because he will protect us. One of my favorite verses of the past 10 years is Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. And I think I've shared this verse before, and I've always said, imagining saying, here is my heavenly Father, let me introduce you to him, put your hand in his. You don't know who he is? He is your God, God of gods, Lord of lords, mighty and awesome. There is no one like him. But listen to this. It then goes on and says, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. And then this is what I love. He defends the cause of the fatherless and loves the foreigner living among you. Sorry, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. This mighty God gives us a glimpse of his own heart. He said, this is what I'm like. This is what I'm like. I love and care for and take ownership of the needs of those who are not so fortunate in this world. Mighty God. Application? Let us run to him for protection. Let us hide behind him. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. And this ties in a little bit with that Deuteronomy verse about he's the one that defends the fatherless. As the everlasting Father, he endlessly loves us forever. As his children, he may, in fact he does, discipline us. But his love is constant, it is certain, and it is forever. He doesn't impose himself on his children, but rather, what does he do? He sacrifices himself for his children. Application? Let's enjoy him. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Delight in him. He delights in us. And you and I know what we're like. You know what we're like. We read God's word and we realize that we fall far, far short. We know that not only is that at the time of our salvation, but continually. Our lives fall short. What is God's response? Everlasting love. Delight and joy. What a challenge to us fathers. We fell short of that. But what should we do? We should enjoy our Father, our Heavenly Father. We should enjoy this season. We should delight in it as our Heavenly Father delights in us, with our warts and our sins and our inadequacies as well. So, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then finally it says here, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the one who reconciles us while we are still enemies. Would we come to him? No, we would hate him. But he came to us as a child, and he reconciled God and man to man. The one who came, the Prince of Peace. Application? Prince of Peace, let's welcome his reign in our life. Let us bend the knee humbly before him. As I was reading through the passages of Scripture last week and just thoroughly enjoying it, let God's word just sort of wash over me, I realized, and I guess that's part of the privilege I have in this short time, is, you know, when you get to preach, as you do spend extended time in God's word. And, you know, you see wonderful truths, but at times your heart is really convicted. And I was really convicted this week and quite humbled about some things and, you know, quite appropriately so as well, just my own shortcomings. But to know that the Prince of Peace, to bend the knee, to allow him to reign in our lives and to submit to him in love. That's the way to respond to the Prince of Peace. There are a couple of other names I'd just like to touch on while we're here. There are many names, and for example, we read here of the increase of his government and peace, so he's a governor, but we don't have time here, and I don't want to take too long, but there are a number of wonderful names of Jesus that are such a blessing to explore. But I'll just, the name of Emmanuel means God with us. Matthew 28, at the end of the Gospel, the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And this is the part I want to come to. And surely I am with you while I'm here on earth. Yes. Always to the very end of the age. And this may be the end of the age. It's certainly the age that we're in. I will be with you always. Emmanuel, God with us. And then finally, we cannot finish without saying the name that Jesus was given. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Wonderful. Application, let his name often be on our lips. Let the name of Jesus be on our lips often, that we may talk to our friends, particularly in this season that we're in now, when, you know, we know that there's so much confusion about the meaning of Christmas. You know, there's youngsters, you talk to them now, and, you know, they have no idea that Jesus is connected with Christmas at all. It's all about reindeer and snow and beautiful scenery and little bouncy rabbits and all sorts of things. And obviously presents for the dear darling little ones. But let his name be on our lips. So I want to just conclude there and just encourage you that we have this little child that was given to us. God's answer to man's problem is a baby. A baby born in a manger in a horrible, smelly, stinky stall back there in Bethlehem of Judea. But this baby is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as I've suggested, as Wonderful Counselor, we should follow him. As Mighty God, we should run to him for protection. We should hide behind him. As Everlasting Father, we should delight and enjoy and bathe in his love towards his people, the people, us, he calls his very own. As Prince of Peace, we should welcome his reign in our lives. And as Jesus' Savior, let us speak the name of Jesus. Let his name be on our lips. Let us pray. Lord, it's just so wonderful that you're our Savior and that we can know and understand that you're a wonderful Counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and all those images that they bring to our mind, Lord, may that be a comfort to our hearts in the days ahead. Lord, may that just thrill us. May that just give us a desire to talk about you endlessly, we pray. Help us to continue in our worship now that it may be acceptable in your sight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.